Hey everybody, it's Rob. This week is our annual, actually third annual Marketing Trends Report. We have our three alumni and three panelists from last year, Leslie Kardick of Clear Edge Marketing, Jeff Statz of Haley Marketing, and Jeff Palicio of Allied Insights. We're gonna talk strategy, tech, and the elephant in the room, AI. As always, make sure you give us any feedback or any thoughts that we missed, and hope you enjoy the show.
Hey LJ, how many talks at conferences have you given on AI this year?
Oh my goodness. I actually have no idea. It's been so many.
Oh God. And how many times have you taught this AI to supercharge your desk course already?
Over 2 dozen times now.
2 dozen? God, you were at 8 the last time I asked you, like a month ago. Good Lord.
I know. It has been exceedingly popular and it's gotten rave reviews. So we're super excited about what I think is going to be the leveling the playing field, the great equalizer. is generative. And, you know, I've been quoted as saying, AI won't replace you, but someone that knows how to use it will. And so you need to get on it if you haven't.
That's right, guys. So check out the Supercharger Desk with AI that Lauren is teaching via Leap Consulting. And you can find her at Lauren at leapconsultingsolutions.com.
Lauren Jones, it's the holiday season. And you know what that means?
It means that we have an amazing episode.
What? All right. For the third time in the 4 years of the existence of this podcast, we've gotten together some marketing leaders from the industry to help you plan, strategize, and not run away screaming when someone says the word AI. So let's get right to our panel. We'll start with the second boss lady on the call. Leslie Kardick, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me. Happy to be back with this crew.
And if you don't remember, Leslie is from Clear Edge Marketing. And what does Clear Edge do, Leslie? We'll give you guys a couple minutes or a minute of love here.
Yeah, Clear Edge does a lot of things. At the highest level, it's a company that formed 17 years ago. Primarily, it was born focusing on marketing outsourced services for the talent and tech industry. But if you've looked at our company or paid attention, we do a lot more than that. As of this year, we've launched a recruiting division, which I oversee, and we replace marketers, all levels, across industries. And then we just launched the Rising division, which is a leadership development business that helps women leaders rise.
I like it. And we've done an episode with your boss lady, Leslie, which is not confusing, and Ashley as well on Clear Edge Rising. So, all right. Well, thank you. All right. Now I get to do the really fun thing and say Jeff and have two Jeffs be confused. So let's go with Jeff Palicio first.
So many Leslies, so many Jeffs.
Yeah, there's too many Jeffs, too many Leslies. No, thank you so much for having me on. So Jeff Palicio, we're with Allied Insight. I'm the CEO. We are a full stack marketing agency dedicated to just working with staffing firms, so companies in the staffing industry. I think like as a general overarching view, like we try to sort of work with and invest in the companies that we partner with a little bit beyond like the marketing itself, the marketing delivery itself, in order to try to help them establish ways to make sure that their corporate initiatives are supported, make sure that their activities at the front line are also being supported, along with obviously monitoring, managing, and expanding the reach of their brands. So, that's me. That's who we are.
Love it. All right.
Love it.
And then last, but definitely not least, Jeff Statz. How you doing, brother?
What's going on, man? Yeah, I'm the follically challenged Jeff. So obviously, thank God. So just think of me as like a Brad Pitt, bushy, beautiful hair, attractive. Jeff Statz, CMO of Haley Marketing. We make world-class marketing fast, easy, and affordable. So we have all sorts of marketing services, websites, you name it, blogging, SEO. We help small and mid-sized staffing firms level up their marketing. Me specifically, my role is to drive the brand, as well as I head up the automation and the outsourced marketing division. So I've been doing that over the last 2 years. That's about it. So I'm glad I started off real high with a joke and then came back down. So now we'll get serious.
Appreciate you always leading with the joke.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's a good an opening.
All right. So just so you guys know, for listeners, we're going to drop all of their takeaways and trends and things to pay attention to, strategies, focuses in a blog post that will be available when this episode drops. But in the meantime, we broke this down into three big categories that we want to talk about. And I think we should probably start with strategically in for 2024. What are some things that we need to focus on? And we'll go round robin, and I'll start with Leslie to start, and then we'll keep moving around here.
Yeah, 2024, I think probably everyone will agree that it's about really about going really targeted as much as possible. It's you know, long are the days where you go far and wide with demand gen, and all the conversations we're having, a lot of our prospects and clients are saying, I want to make more meaningful connections. And what does that mean tactically? What are we hearing more about? Account-based marketing, right? Account-based marketing is one area, data-driven content. So help us really think about our buyer cycle. What does that look like today versus what did that look like last year? And then how can we map really smart strategic content to that buyer cycle? That's one thing. The other thing I think people are really trying to figure out is that line of personalization. You know, what does that look like? When is the right time to do that? When should we double down, or versus when can we have more of a generic message that still makes a connection? And I think AI is an interesting topic that we'll hit on later that will dive into more on that topic. But I still think companies are trying to figure out the right approach there without being creepy, for lack of a better word.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Jeff Statz, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Leslie is right on with some of this in terms of the personalization. I would almost say, like, you know, like building a community. I mean, I feel like the content creators, you know, as you know, some are awesome, some are inspiring, some are authentic, which I know is a big word. And, you know, but they've got it right. They're building a fan base. And I think it's one of those where, you know, if you're running marketing for a staffing firm, you've got to understand your fan base. You got to understand, you know, and the segmentation that gets into the personalization and how personal is too personal. But I think there's a strategy around getting that first party data. Like, I personally think marketing attribution is going to be thrown out the window even more than it already is right now, with, you know, the lack of tracking and some of the, you know, with iOS and, you know, some of the things that you cannot do. And cookies going away. So I think that building that first party data is, and then being able to understand them enough to serve them up those messages, I think is going to be key. I think not just a community or a mailing list, I think like a fan base. Like, I really think that you've got to go in there and you've got to really help them become the hero. And then honestly, and I wouldn't, you know, be me if I didn't say about automation, I think there's a strategy around, I think AI is now making you automate. I think that the ability of AI to like ideate and do some of these things faster and quicker, I think you're going to see, I wrote it in there, I'm sure you'll see it in the blog post, but like a automation super move. Like, I feel like, you know, we've been talking, every year has been the year of automation for the last 7 years. I think like next year could be the year of automation because of AI. And I think that there's an opportunity to, again, do things faster, be able to get some of these messages out, test, do all this stuff a lot faster, which is bringing confidence to automation.
And Mr. Policio rounded it out. Any thoughts on strategy for 2021? We got personalization, being authentic, building community, and totally agree, by the way, Jeff S., that AI will make automation more.
Give Jeff P. the authenticity. He's a man of authenticity. So I don't want to coin that.
No. All right. I'll take authenticity and hand it to Jeff Policio.
That's what happens.
So authenticity is my lead. Yeah. There you go, Jeff, this is why we're on these. So no, listen, authenticity, I think, I hate to sort of send people all the way back upstream, but I think that, you know, there was a time period where I think staffing firms were able to move a little fast and loose and produce business and build digital trust with relative ease using generic messaging, using
maybe not the most well thought through offers. And I think that what I have observed over the last 11 years being in staffing at this point is capturing and building that digital trust is significantly harder today than it's ever been in the past. You know, we could still convert people pretty easily from a recruitment marketing perspective. But when you're talking about getting new logos and connecting with employers, I think it requires all staffing firms to do a quick pulse check to make sure that like their process is really unique, different, and does provide a good value, good strong value to people, that the offers that they create do in fact resonate contextually with the target, and that like it makes sense based on the time of year or the thing that you're offering, that your marketing communications are really truly in alignment with what the sales team is doing and saying, that you all are using the same words. You know, I think doing those things, like taking that moment to redefine why you're in the given markets that you're in, not just because it makes you money, but because of what the impact that you have on those communities, like to sort of piggyback on what Jeff was saying, like this is all about building community. And so to really know why you're in given markets and what the advantages that companies have to work with you is, I think, really important right now. Because as a marketer, and I'm sure that, you know, the others will agree, like as a marketer, that's what we use in order to like push, promote, and extend reach. Right. So yeah, thanks, Jeff. Agreed. I'm staying on that authenticity plug.
I knew you would. You're a man of principle. But all right. It is funny, LJ, though. I will say, like, to Leslie's point, like I've heard so many staffing sales strategies that are account-based marketing without saying account-based marketing. Like everybody's right. Like, oh, can we do something with accounts and account-based marketing? They're like, I don't know. Sound good.
Sure.
Or tap, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. You know.
We don't need fancy words, Jeff. We just need to do it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to say one. Oh, go sorry, ahead. Lauren. I was just going to say, I thought it was interesting about the marketing and sales comment because we're definitely seeing, you know, traditionally, maybe it's mostly staffing where you see marketing's goals and, you know, and their KPIs. And then you have sales and they're very kind of still siloed after all these years after saying that. But we are seeing more of a unified team, like hunting, farming, growing leads together, unified, you know, dashboards and things like that, that everyone's ultimately responsible for what's coming through the pipeline and down. So it'll be really interesting to see how, you know, hopefully this sticks, because I do think this is the way that it should be. But that is different than what we've seen in the past with just different programming and just, you know, when is the pass off? I mean, how many times have we heard that? When do we, you know, how do we all define what is a lead? What is this? All of that's being done in collaboration more so than I've seen before.
Well, that's exciting.
I agree with all of this. But when you put it together, it gives us, actually all of the words that you all have used are what Gen Z actually used to describe, you know, how things resonate with them. You know, there's got to be a values alignment with authenticity and transparency. There has to be social impact, you know, where that whole community engagement type of thing. I think we're going to see a lot more storytelling going on. I think 2024 will be the year of the story, because I think we're going to try desperately to differentiate ourselves from AI, and we're much better at telling compelling stories. I think AI can tell a very rote story, a very well-configured story, but I think we're going to come back to storytelling. I think that these micro-influencer partnerships are going to continue to flourish in all verticals and all industries. I think we're still going to see influencing, you know, quote unquote influencing as part of this social temperature check, if you will. And then I think we're going to take personalization to the next level, because AI has done a really good job of helping us create better honed messaging. But I think we need to put the human twist on it, right? And where does it apply? When is it appropriate, right? We're going to be the trigger to create the authenticity through the usage of AI. And that's why I say, you know, AI is not going to replace you, but someone that knows how to use it will. And this is exactly the application in marketing. Timing is everything in sales. Timing is everything in marketing. And so how do we use all of these things that are important to both millennials and Gen Z to continue to perpetuate our message and get clearer and more concise? I think it's just going to get better.
I think that, I agree with lots of it. And I'm super excited that account-based marketing is coming and that marketing and sales is getting aligned in staffing industries or staffing companies. Yep. And I'm really, really excited that even though we've been talking about community for how many years now, you tie authenticity with community together. And I think that's going to be, I think that's a really good, and again, you could just start in your local markets, right? We've already people have dominated their local markets or been embedded in their local markets for long enough now that they don't need to go crazy to build a community. They just need to engage more succinctly and strategically with those audiences in place where they are.
Yeah.
You tend to see.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just I was going to build on that. Like, I think 2020, it's the Netflix effect. Curated content, right? So when it's applicable, who it's applicable to, this is that curated content. Who's it authentic to? Those types of practical applications I think we're going to bring it all together in 2024.
I think for the brands that hold community as a core to their value system, perform very well when it comes to being authentic, because they already know why they're in given territories. They already know what it is that they're doing to fill the gaps that exist. And for those that are entering into markets strictly for the purpose of entering into a market, I think they will have a more challenging time opening up new geographic territories or new sectors if they haven't already established what their value is that they're adding to that space. So, and I also think too, Lauren, to your point, you were mentioning with regards to AI and sort of supporting messaging and things of that nature. And I think that with Leslie talking about account-based marketing, I think where one of the new skills, I think sales is going to have to it's not a new skill, but they're going to have to exercise a muscle that maybe they haven't had to use as much, and that's research. So as they go into doing more account-based marketing, if you were to approach that with a generic offer, then it's no longer account-based marketing, right? But based on how it is that you go about deconstructing your target and what the components are that you're looking for that help you to identify how you can take your value and your offer and align it to their needs or their pain points, and then working with marketing to sort of craft that overarching message that shows how much time you spent on me before you even tried to get into my inbox. That is going to be key, but it will require a new sort of muscle memory at that point. So
I think you're spot on. Yeah. I don't know that I've put it in the doc, but there was something that I jotted down the other day about original research being super important and getting to know your audiences. And when you think about everything we just said, it makes me think of, is this the rise again of employer branding and the need for that marketing value add? Because, maybe AI is driving the need even more now. People want to cut through the clutter and know what's real and what's not. And that's a good thing, right? They want to know who you are, why did you reach out to them? What's your purpose, your vision? And in speaking to candidates, they're looking for that too, in addition to other things like stability and all the things that are really important, especially in today's market. But I think your employer brand, if you're not thinking about that, it's definitely the time to do so.
Yeah. People want to connect with something. And I think this is the other thing that we get lazy in staffing, right? We think marketing, we think advertising is and training, right? A lot of these things, we think it's just like one hit wonder. We're in and we're out. Let's spend the money and get it done. And this is exercise. This is exercise. Mm-hmm. You have to exercise your brand, just like you have to exercise your body and you have to exercise your brain. This is something that is not a one and done type of thing. This is something that is ongoing. It continues to change. It's a moving target. people are a moving target. Does everybody stay the same all the time? No. And so why would we think when we're marketing to human capital that it would be any different, that it would be a stagnant target?
Or your clients, right? They're going to
adjust. They're people.
So strategically we make a plan, and things like account-based marketing take, I love when account-based marketing has its own landing pages for certain companies that you're marketing to.
Sure.
So let's talk about tech. Let's talk about how strategically we can deploy tech, or not strategically we can deploy tech and just have lots of spend. And I'm going to go first to Mr. Jeff Statz. Spinning the dial here.
Wow. Sweet. I think it's funny. Last year we talked about like tech bloat. And so we were talking about like, okay, 2023, we're going to take a look at everything and we're going to strip away. I feel like we've done the complete opposite. So it's like, wait a minute, it has AI. That's awesome. I got 74 Copilot based things in my tech stack right now. So I feel like we've like gone the opposite. I'm going to double down on taking a look at tech and, really looking at, is it part of the process? Not necessarily, are you spending, anything else around like, yeah, we have to use it. That's a plug and play feature. But like, I think from a technology standpoint, continue to look at the process, look at the way that AI is potentially changing the process, and really choose those tech stack pieces that are like really going to help either fill in the gap of the process or improve the engagement of it. I mean, that's really, again, I see more and more that are like, they're taking a look at ATSs and changing ATSs. I mean, the amount of companies I like that are even talking about it is just nuts. And I'm like, okay, so that's like a major operation and like, it's cool. We'll do it again. I just talked to one that changed ATSs 3 times in 3 years. I'm like, get like the buy-in of the people? They're going to be like, dude, I'm done, man. Like, come on. But like, it's one of those where like, yeah, we didn't really figure it out. So we're going to do that. Yeah, it doesn't work. So we're going to go back to this. We're going to do that. And I almost think that technology is like a napkin. It's just throwaway. Like, it's cool.
Did you fire them as a client?
No, I didn't. I never had them as a client, but I was like, that was definitely one where I was like, red flag. Like, no, it's cool.
That sounds painful.
Yeah.
All right, Policio, what you got, buddy? What do we need? What are we buying? What are we selling?
Like, so I'm with Jeff. I think that like, being smarter about your technical purchases, I think is key. I think that it's okay when you have specialized items, but really do your due diligence upfront to make sure that you understand like how the insertion of that new technology is going to impact the rest of your tech stack. For that fact, like, please take a moment and do a tech stack mapping. Like, let's just map out what you actually have in your ecosystem so that it's easier to like kind of plug and play and do what you want to do. But instead, what happens is we don't really think about what all the bits and pieces are because we haven't taken the time to build that map. Then we identify this new thing, this new shiny element at a conference or from an email that got distributed to you. We implement it and then we immediately regret it. So I just think like, do your due diligence, do your homework up front, set yourself a task for the year with a certain deadline, right? Let's like set it for, you could probably do it in the first quarter to map out what your tech stack is so that way you could be more educated as you move forward to pursue other options. I also do think that like, because of our individual experience as consumers, I think the more gaps you have in your connections between what's happening in your digital space, where like your website, where people are interacting with your brand and doing something to convert and getting it into your internal platform, your ATS, or you may have a CRM that you're using for some of these things. I think that the disconnections, the manual components, the routing manually, the going into group inboxes, I think that time has well passed. I think at this point now, like, there are expectations just because of the way that we behave online and the service providers that we work with. Like, they aren't necessarily even our competition, but the expectation that it creates is that if I'm going to a website, it will yield the same outcome. Like, I will have just an easy time doing that. And I think that we need to start thinking of ourselves as, a bit more of like an e-commerce type of industry versus thinking of us as a service industry. I know that we're still services, but the level at which we need to respond, inform, educate, and provide transparency feels an awful lot like a shopping cart. So I think we should take note of the things that we're experiencing around us and identify where there's opportunities for innovation within our industry and really, you know, make that the exercise as you also go into the year from a technology perspective.
All right. I like that. Leslie.
I don't know that
I, the ball to you.
I know I can't add much more than that. I think they're spot on. A lot of companies are reassessing their tech stacks right now, considering new technology completely. To what the Jeffs have said, prioritize anything really to get closer to the customers and get insight to, I can't watch you guys on this video and talk at the same, this is why I said, dude, this video need to be on. Anyway, long story short, I think they're trying to get really close to the customers and get as much insight to the data as possible. They're not tolerating inefficient data. And I'm sorry, inefficient tech right now. They're just, they don't have a tolerance for it. So it's a good time for folks to engage with experts to come and ask all the smart questions and making sure that you're checking off all the boxes.
I see what you did there, Leslie, because I was going to say, well, there's an expert on this call and we should probably ask her opinion on tech. Not that we're all not experts on tech, by the way. I know we all are, but there is an expert among experts.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
This is going to be like a 1 minute and shorter answer or 2 minutes. What do we got?
It's going to be a short answer. So look, okay. Felicia is exactly right. If you're not documenting your processes, if you're not taking inventory, you're missing out. We have a package that we sell now that's a biannual tech stack review, right? So twice a year in January and June, you should be looking at what have you purchased? What's the functional output of those? Did somebody roadmap a function of a tool that you already have? Do you have duplicative, function going on? This is where that tech bloat comes from when we're not continually taking inventory of the tools that we've purchased, how we're leveraging them, the tools within the side the tools, because, you know, the tools continue to expand in functionality. And oftentimes, again, we end up with duplicative and we end with overspend. Not only that. When we come in and we do process mapping, and why do we process map? Why do we come in and we look at your business process? We map the current flow out. Because if I decide to implement a new technology, I know exactly what flow I'm working with, and I know exactly how to redesign it when I'm applying a new technology. It makes all of the work in the future so much easier. And any company that is not in a beta or not in a pilot and is not giving a technology 12 to 18 months to like really mature, go through the maturation process, is wasting their time, wasting their effort, and wasting their money. Save for a catastrophic failure on the side of the vendor, you need to give the technology time to mature and you need to give the technology time to be adopted. And that, again, is not a one-hit wonder. You can't come in, implement it, train on it, and then wash your hands of it. Training takes repetition. And with our attention spans today, it takes a lot of repetition. And so, you know, take inventory and rinse and repeat, period.
Yeah. I do think the one thing I do want to add, because Lauren, you're on and everything else, and I think you could give great perspective to this, is what I've seen in talking to just any, you know, staffing firm owner is this. I've seen non-technology consultants or tech stack consultants or experts or whatever making decisions on tech, like, you know, different, like you're seeing that more and more now where it's like, I'm an, you know, EOS implementer, I'm a business coach, I'm this, I'm that. And I feel like they're getting into tech and kind of making decisions. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of screwing up some of the process there, where I feel like it's that shiny object thing where it's like, well, I was going to go this route until I talked to so-and-so. And maybe they don't have that experience.
We should use. I can't tell you how many times I have an external consultant come in, yes, who's got Apollo IO. You should be using Apollo IO. Well, they use Outreach, not knowing that one suggestion that they make
could now completely undo. Well, as it's happening to me right now at a client,
12 where months of work.
An outside consultant has come in, made a suggestion about a tool that they know about and that they've used personally, and it's completely undone a year's worth of work because of shiny syndrome. Shiny toy syndrome.
Yep.
And well, it's not what we have, so it might as well be better. And that's just not the case. It's so much wasted time, so much wasted effort. And you really need to go to the experts, because the experts are going to ask questions like, okay, what's your core system today? How do we want this integrated? Does it integrate? If we need a third-party integration tool, is it a reliable third-party integration tool? Or is it going to be a rudimentary or sophomoric type integration that really doesn't help us? And remember, there is no transformation without integration. So if you're setting up all these damn tools and they're not integrated, it does not help you.
And as just a little addition, can I just say really quickly, try to work with service providers who actually know the industry.
Yeah.
I think that's just start there. Just start there. Right. This isn't like 10 years ago where you had much fewer people in the marketplace to be able to participate with or whatever. Like, you've got a lot of businesses that focus on a lot of different areas of staffing who have many, many years of experience in their profession, in their skill set. Like, they're experts in these fields. Start first with the people who understand the industry. Not that it's so complicated that it's impossible for someone else to understand, but I mean, holy hell, just understanding and knowing the nuances to the business and how maybe some more market type products can work in a regular business setting, but how that creates complications in trying to manage two databases. And you know what I'm saying? Just start first with your staffing experts. And then if you don't find what you're looking for there, then continue to move on. I totally understand. But I will say, there's more times than not, I feel like I'm undoing things. Or like you said, Lauren, another expert comes in and they want to have a conversation about X, and then they want to start inserting either different tech or different concepts. And you're like, have you done staffing before? Great. Let's spend 3 hours educating you on what staffing is.
Yeah. Do you understand what they're currently using? Are you asking those questions? You know, what's the long-term, what are the long-term impacts of this? And what's our timing and tolerance? Do we have tolerance? Have we done too much technology implementation? You know, there is change fatigue that happens. And when we're not asking those questions, we're just making suggestions. I mean, I'm sure it's out of, good. I don't think there's any, good intention. It's not out of malice, but it's certainly out of ignorance. And that's where I think it becomes A, dangerous, B, divisive, and C, can cost a hell of a lot of money on the part of the agency.
I have a painful story here from two weeks ago. I was on a call, a demo for 3DIQ, and they were like, hey, we're looking for a way to get our job board onto our website. And I said, oh, okay, what were you hosting your website? Well, one of our managers was really familiar with building a website on Wix. And so our website is built on Wix. And I said,
oh, dear heavens.
Yeah, stop talking. I was like, okay, I this is going to sound really, really blunt, but one, you're going to have to get off Wix, and here are a bunch of people who can help you. Because if you think about the way that this technology works, you need to integrate into your website, or you need to have your provider who provides your website provide this job board. And Wix is not going to cut, that's not going to cut it. Like, WordPress, we can make it work. And then all these providers, but I can't help you on Wix or Squarespace. So, and good intentioned. And the website was beautiful. It was laid out well. It wasn't a 6-page website. It had they had the right ideas. They just did not have a good enough right underlying technology to make that work.
Yeah, so, wrong execution.
A lot of the stuff was great in terms of the content, the way it was laid out. They just can't integrate. And I was like, oh, that hurts. It hurt a lot.
Not thinking long-term. It's just standing something up. Yeah.
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 So anyway. All right. So speaking of things that could fall into tech bloat, and this is our last topic, is AI. Because everyone's technology has generative AI in it now, right? There's 5 of us on this call. We all could have our own generative AI in our own products, right? So, and that is going to create a lot of bloat. and reach, at least on that perspective, right? And not saying anything bad about AI, I'm just saying that every product's going to have it built in at some point. So, and Policio, I saved you for last. So do you want to kick off on your thoughts for AI and marketing
sure.
in the industry?
You want like all my crazy conspiracy theories and my...
I love when you get crazy.
Yes.
I love when you get crazy.
Yes.
Get all Mel Gibson on us.
No. So look, I will say this, like, be cautious and be conservative. That would be my recommendations when it comes to AI. And it's because we don't know what we don't know. We don't know what search engines are going to do. We don't. So I'm thinking of it more so in terms of like what we produce and like the things that we're going to be held accountable for, because we don't do like systems integrations. Like, you know, if you have a technology that's using AI in order to like prop up, you know, a chat or an interaction or an engagement or correct email subject, that's not what I'm talking about. But when you're creating large sums of content, articles, white papers, for blogs, social media, whatever, I would just say be conservative and be cautious, because you don't know, I don't know if or when down the road they are going to start identifying content that has been generated by AI. And so if we all have access to the same tools, right, as we think of like Bard, Claude, GPT, right? All these different things, ChatGPT. We all have access to the same tools. So if, let's just say we all started using and consuming at the highest volume we possibly could. Eventually, someone has to grade content that is human versus, I think. So this is, I guess, my conspiracy theory. I think at some point in the future, I think that content is going to get rated based on whether it was written by an AI tool, which could still be a valuable piece, or if that same exact concept was written by a human. And so that applies not only in your search engines like Google and Microsoft, Bing, Yahoo, but it also can apply in closed circuit systems like LinkedIn, Facebook, et cetera. So, you know, how terrible would it be? So I always think about in terms of like my accountability down the road, how terrible would it be if content was being created almost exclusively by AI without taking into consideration its detectability, which you can also test today. And let's say you did a post every single day, Monday through Friday in your LinkedIn profile. That's 260 posts for the year. What if LinkedIn turned around and just did an update where they assessed all of the given content and just put a little sticker, a little dot on every single post that was AI generated? All the posts that you worked to create through this AI tool to be authentic is now being shown that it wasn't you who wrote it. What do you think that's going to do to your personal brand, your company brand, the trust that you built over the last year? Like, it can decimate it. So I'm not saying don't use it. Yeah, just to be really clear, like, I'm not the doomsdayer. I'm not saying don't use it. I'm not saying it's not helpful and beneficial.
You could do the Policio letter. It's like the Scarlet letter, only it's a P. Like the Policio letter. Like Scarlet. You've now received
the Scarlet P. And we got the Scarlet P.
The Scarlet P. I mean, I'm just saying, like, be smart about how you're going to integrate this into your content development, right? I think, you know, in emails and things of that nature, I think it's pretty benign. I don't think that there's going to be a whole lot of like potential pushback that can occur there. But when you're going to put stuff around your website, whether it be static pages, blog pages, when you're going to be doing social media, when you're going to be writing content at volume, and those are the ones that you're trying to create thought leadership for people to trust, just consider for a moment what happens if. And if you are concerned about that, then I would say there is a variety of tools out there that can indicate, you know, they will check whether or not it's detectable for AI. So I'm not saying don't use it. I'm saying go ahead and use it and then make it undetectable. Yeah? Like, just think ahead. And avoid the letter.
You will be judged. Write it. Write that crap. See what happens.
Yeah. Anyway, right, that's Leslie, that's my spiel on AI.
Yeah.
Get away from Jeff.
I was thinking, reflecting on, I don't even know. Did we talk about AI in the last? And where were we?
We actually did it.
We're interesting because
automation.
Now. Okay. See, I can't even remember because it is all we see. I mean, we click on LinkedIn. We get emails talking about it, giving, you know, prompts, suggestion. I mean, there's just, I can't look anywhere without it. And just last year, it wasn't even a topic, which is interesting. I mean, I think back when email came out. I mean, just thinking about the buzz around that or any big, you know, advent in technology and everyone talking about it. How do you use it? How do we, you know, what can we learn from it? Giving each other tips, things like that. That is happening now for AI. So it's interesting to see where this will take us, but I definitely don't think it's a shiny tool. I think it's here to stay, but I think I mentioned possibly in a different conversation was it's the tool, not a rule yet. And so I think those that don't embrace it will possibly be left behind. Is that a bold statement to make? I think that you know, you think about email marketing automation, things like that. There is not a platform out there. Maybe there are, but the ones that are leaders have had some sort of application included in it in order to compete. And so thinking about the vendor landscape for staffing, it is a good question to ask yourself. How are you going to leverage this for what it's great at? So I think it's something to be mindful of for sure, and how you use it, but also not to be scared. Welcome it with open arms and understand where it fits best within your organization, and it's a great tool. Take advantage how you can, as long as it, you know, fits in with your values and what your organization is looking to become in the future, because it's not going anywhere.
Jeff.
Yeah, I think
stats.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think AI is interesting. I think, you know, like automation and AI, and I'll have a point to this, is like, you know, your first kid and your third kid. Like automation's your first kid. Like go out there. Play, go do some soccer, do some stuff. And like, and that was automation for the last 7 years, is like, use it. Like there was a barrier to entry because you had to like buy the platform, learn. And sometimes that, like, you know, you were done with it. AI, there's no barrier to entry. It's your third kid. Like you got to wrangle them back. Like stop punching, stop, you know, no, we're not doing that. And I think that in marketing,
there's less rules.
Yeah. I think like there's no barrier to entry. You're in AI. You could do AI for anything. Recruit, like there, anybody can use it. So I feel like there's almost an AI traffic cop that's going to have to play into this, because I feel like, into our discussion around like a non-staffing industry expert or a non-tech stack expert messing with things, I feel like that's, if AI's unruly, it's going to mess. Like I don't need blogs. Like I'll just write my own things. And I feel like there's like rules of engagement or something that needs to be done, because I feel like there's an opportunity that it's going to mess with your plan just because there's an immediacy, there's gratification. There's like, if I do this, I will get a payoff, good or bad. I know what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with Leslie. I mean, I think that it is all about, with great power comes great responsibility. Right. It's Spider-Man. Like we have to leverage these tools responsibly. You know, I mean, Jeff, I hear you, because I do think that the legislation that is being proposed right now about AI is AI identification, particularly on the video side, right? On the deep fakes and what have you. So when you look at what is being put before, you know, our lawmakers, it is all about AI identification. Again, I think more concentrated on the video side, but, and yet you have tools like Stealth that can be cross-plag and NoGPT and originality and GPT-0 and copy links and turn it in and all of these. I mean, like we've got AIs fighting with one another. So it's like, how much are we really going to be identify and control? And so I think that, you know, we as humans love to want to control what it is. And I think it's more, less about control and more about application. And like where to apply it, where it's safe to apply it, where it makes sense to apply it, because AI is not a replacement. It is enablement, period, end of story. And when you start using it like enablement and not a replacement, then I think we'll have, you know, in my eyes, sort of reached the nirvana of AI application. But right now it's being used and abused. I don't know about you, but I can barely make my way through my LinkedIn inbox without some AI generated gobbledygook piece of crap that, you know, somebody's decided to pick up a new tool, not learn how to apply it, not put the time into applying it appropriately, not having it read my profile even appropriately so that the message is applied correctly. You know, again, it's all about application. It's all about taking the time to do it right. And I think that's where the art of it gets lost. Is we're looking for the easy button and it doesn't exist. You can use these tools to make yourself better, faster, stronger, but you do have to put the time, commitment, and investment into doing it right. And I think that's where the winners will come out winners and the misusers will come out losers.
Agreed.
Yeah, agreed on all of that. And on a different part of this, I think that going back to technology, AI is going to make sure that you need to have your data right.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think we talked about this last year a little bit with automation, because automation, AI, and reporting all rely on one thing. And that is how you're getting data, or what data pool you're getting this directive, generative, matching AI, setting off email, setting off text message through automation that might have AI generated content, and then being able to make decisions on success or KPIs or whatever acronym you want to use. It all relies on your data. And I think Lauren said it the best, is that if you want to get back to having reliable data, you can't one and done training. You just can't do it anymore. It's no longer a one and done thing. So at the end of the day, what all the stuff that we just said is, hey, there's lots of opportunity moving forward. But at the end of the day, it boils down to, do you invest in your people? I think that, like, we said all these things, but are we investing every day in and day out to make sure that our people are doing the right thing so that we can take advantage of all these amplifiers and accelerators to grow and to create great outcomes for our people internally, but also our clients and our candidates that we work with every day. So,
amen.
All right, final thoughts real quick. Got a minute. We gotta jump. So Jeff P, what you got? Final thought.
I'm really excited about the upcoming year. I think that the market is going to be a better market than we had in this year. I think a little bit of a rinse and repeat, but I think it's going to be a better market. And I think if we really focus on the important details inside of our companies, I think that we could exercise that communication externally in a more meaningful way and get better conversions.
Love it. Leslie, what you got?
2024 is going to be definitely honing down on the user experience a lot. Companies, organizations, prospects, everyone wants to know, what will I get out of this investment, marketing investment, much more now than ever before. So making sure that's a question that you can answer is super important. And again, I know we talked about that house foundation last year. That's still important. That did not go away. You have to have your house foundationally solid in order for all of this to happen. So I just wanted to mention that.
Love it. Jeff S., what you got, brother?
Yeah, man. I think that storytelling, I like Lauren. I mean, that's really where it's going, is storytelling. And I think that you're going to see the marketing role evolve into more of a conductor, director, like QB. Like that marketing, instead of being tactical and you run this, you do this, it's basically going to be a conductor of the orchestra to say, okay, what am I doing? And you're going to see that now more than ever, where they're going to have to really be that conductor.
Love it. All right, LJ, what you got?
2024, the year of more, right? I got to have a rhyme. Gonna have a rhyme, but I think 2024 and the tools that we have at our fingertips are gonna allow us to do more. And when applied correctly, they're gonna allow us to do more the right way. And so I'm excited. I think that it's gonna be more of the same from an economy perspective. We've heard that from every economist we've listened to. But coming into some upward climb, which would be nice. But I do think that 2024, I hope we're able to bring it all together.
Awesome. Well, that is what we got for you. If you have questions, you know how to find these people. We'll have a blog post. We'll include their emails. Jeff P, Jeff S, Leslie C, thank you all so much.
Thank you.
And LJ, always great. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
Thank you for listening to the You Own the Experience podcast.
You can catch all our previous episodes at whyweepodcast.com and learn more about our thriving staffing community by signing up for the Why We newsletter.
And coming soon is Staffing Huddle, an online open community dedicated to your staffing success.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Lauren. Go do something good.
Bye, guys.